We've been talking about the Iowa caucus all morning, but that's so a few hours ago, right? Next up is New Hampshire. It's home to the nation's first primary. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney has had a commanding lead in the polls so far, but with a week of nonstop New Hampshire campaigning before the January 10th vote, there's nothing really certain at this point, and we're going to talk about New Hampshire with Kelefa Sana, staff writer for The New Yorker. He joins us in studio. Good morning, Kelefa.
Hi.
And also joining the conversation from Manchester, Grant Bossy, lead investigator for the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy, which is a New Hampshire-based free market think tank. Good morning to you, Grant.
Good morning. It's going to be a fun week.
It will be a fun week because, as I said, I wonder how true that is, Grant. The New Hampshire polls have not wavered or changed as much as the Iowa polls have. Do we expect to see real differences in the results of the primary than what we've seen in the polling so far?
I think we will. Maybe not for first place. Obviously, if Mitt Romney is challenged for first place, that's a huge story. But Mitt Romney hanging on as the front runner for a year in New Hampshire would be unprecedented. And the field is going to narrow some more. It narrowed last night by at least two candidates. It may narrow by one or two more a week from now when we look back at the New Hampshire primary results. So I think Rick Santorum can try to become a national candidate and challenge in South Carolina and Florida. And Newt Gingrich and John Huntsman are going to be battling to hang on. So which of those three candidates survives, one, two, or maybe all three of them, is going to be what's at stake in the New Hampshire primary.
And Kelefa, that appears to be one of the big questions, is Rick Santorum. Does Iowa give him any momentum? I saw an early poll today that didn't really show those numbers moving in New Hampshire.
Well, sure. I think it gives people a reason to take another look at him. I mean, he's been defined, you know, for so long as the kind of the faith and families candidate in previous elections. And this time around, he's talking a lot about industrial policy. And I think that this finish in Iowa will give him a chance to kind of make his case and maybe even possibly redefine himself a little bit to voters nationwide.
Although, Kelefa, one of the big questions coming out of Iowa is what exactly are Republican voters looking for? And we didn't get a decisive answer to that from these caucus results. They appear to be pretty sharply divided. So, Kelefa, are New Hampshire voters a little more focused on what they want?
Well, I think every electorate is a little bit different, obviously. I was in New Hampshire covering the Gingrich campaign, and the first time I went there, Gingrich was the front runner. And yeah. Then I came back a week later, and things had changed. And another week later, things had kind of shifted again. And now you have, coming out of Iowa, Gingrich talking as if he's the spoiler. And as if he's going to go after Romney and sort of somehow support Santorum almost. So I think these things are fluid and these things are determined partly by issues, but partly by this kind of game theory as the candidates figure out which alliances to make and which candidates to attack.
So Grant, could Newt Gingrich be a spoiler in New Hampshire as he goes after Mitt Romney as he has threatened to do so?
He could, but I don't know what they're going to hit Mitt with that he hasn't been hit with over the last year. The union leader's been going after him very hard. You know, he got hit pretty hard the last primary. So I think that a lot of Romney's negatives have already been built into the price of the stock, so to speak. And people know what they like about Romney. They know what they don't like about Romney. And I think a lot of people's minds are made up. And if he continues to poll in the high 30s, low 40s, I don't know if anybody else is going to coalesce and get enough to challenge him. It's certainly going to tighten in the next week. But people know who Mitt Romney is, and I think they've largely made up their mind. The question is, if you don't like Romney and you don't like Ron Paul, who do you go with?
Well, the New Hampshire, very famously, often goes the opposite way, a direction of Iowa. So if Iowa voters were sort of stereotypically voting on faith-based issues, on more of issues of social conservatism, what is it the New Hampshire voters are deciding on?
Jobs, the economy. We're a very a free market state, but and our economy is doing a little better than our neighbors. But it's still a rough time, and people want to know who's going to turn the economy around. You've got Rick Santorum's more blue-collar, working-class message, and you've got Mitt Romney's entrepreneurial, you know, jumpstart the economy message. So we'll see if the populist appeal hitting Mitt Romney because he's been successful and has a little bit of money is enough to create a backlash in tough economic times, or are people going to want to turn to the businessman, the turnaround specialist, the guy that saved Bain Capital in the Salt Lake City Olympics?
So that's Grant Bossy, who's with the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy in New Hampshire. Kelly Fasana, the turnout in Iowa was relatively disappointing. The number of registered Republicans that turned out was not what they hoped for. There were other independents. Is that perhaps going to be the same story in New Hampshire? Although, I mean, New Hampshire has historically had better turnout, but is the enthusiasm there?
Well, it's a little bit hard to figure out because so much of it has to do with expectations. If as you were talking, I was listening and I could faintly hear the sound of Ron Paul supporters screaming at their radios. here's a guy who got 10% in Iowa, 4 years ago. This time gets 20%, but because the expectations had been so much higher for someone like Ron Paul in Iowa, that's perceived as a very disappointing finish, very deflating to his campaign. Is the perception. And so I think in New Hampshire, part of what you'll see is the candidates trying to manage those perceptions and trying to figure out how to get people excited and how to convince people that they have the momentum, which is this quantity that doesn't actually exist, but we all have to pretend exists.
So Mitt Romney barely squeaks away in Iowa. If he takes New Hampshire by the margin that people are predicting, does that give him momentum?
I suppose so, although I think that he's probably less reliant on enthusiasm than some of the other candidates. Again, being perceived as the safe candidate, he doesn't necessarily need to seem like the most exciting candidate.
So he will continue to run against Obama?
I would expect so. And as someone who enjoys the back and forth, again, I'm curious to see what Gingrich has up his sleeve. Certainly last night it sounded like he had something.
A book, a TV deal.
His own TV show, actually, the Newt Gingrich show. All right, so Kelly Fasana, are you going to go, you're going to predict Mitt Romney will be the eventual winner in New Hampshire?
I will promise you that I make no predictions about any of this.
Nice. What about you, Grant Bossy? Are you going to predict Mitt Romney?
I'm not going to predict anything. That's up to the voters. And the very act of predicting in New Hampshire tends to voters tend to want to make you look foolish. So Romney has a lot of advantages here. Rick Santorum's got some momentum. We'll see if he can take a punch. The other challengers to Mitt Romney.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, Grant Bossy, a lead investigator for the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy in New Hampshire, and Kelly Fasana, staff writer for The New Yorker. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.